podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Let's pray. Father, we pray that indeed Lizzie's words would be the words of our heart, that your word would speak to us, Father, that we might know you, hear from you, and Father, be challenged this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What did I just say? Have you ever been asked that question before? You probably know exactly when that question comes, right? It's this long string of conversation that's been going on, and your mind's drifting. You're thinking about things that have absolutely nothing to do with what the speaker is talking about. Or someone's talking to you, and all you're hearing is blah, 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 you know, Charlie Brown and all that, wah, wah. And that's all you hear. And then it becomes obvious, I guess, to the person who's talking to you that you're gone, man. You're not with it. So they stop and they say, "What did I just say?" You ever heard that question before? And wives, it's not polite to nudge your husbands in church. I think all of us, wives included, suffer from the hearing but not listening syndrome. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. It may be during a movie. You know, you're watching a movie and suddenly you see something happen on the screen. You say, what was that? What just happened? You know, you drifted for a little while and you have to ask, can we put this thing on pause and tell me what happened? What did I miss? Probably not a very good movie if that's what happened. Or you walk out the door and you say, "Nice sermon, Pastor." And, you know, the pastor says, "Oh, really? Well, what did you like about it?" And you said, "That it's over?" You know, I don't. Been there, done that. We've all had the opportunity to experience that, what did I just say, hearing but not listening syndrome. Perhaps you were listening to the MP3s of the New Testament this week that you have. And if you don't have one, you can jump in late. There's still some MP3 discs left for you to pick up. And you could even catch up if you wanted to. But as you listen to those MP3s, I don't know about you, but even hearing the Word of God, you have a tendency to drift a little bit, you know? Like, uh-oh, I missed a few verses or a few chapters or something. You've been there before. And I've learned personally that probably not a good idea to try to listen to the Word of God and count repetitions on a weight bench at the same time. It just doesn't work. You know, you get lost. Something's going to get lost, and it's either going to be the Word of God or it's going to be a weight. So it can be dangerous. But, you know, Jerry found that for her to sit down and listen to the MP3 with her Bible open and follow the words has given her the ability to focus on it, to be able to actually take in the words that you're hearing. Because sometimes we're not good at just having a bunch of text coming out and listening to it. If you drift off, though, there are some moments where your reading is pulled back in, or suddenly you hear the words of Jesus being spoken, and you're like, "Wow, that grabbed me." One of those places is this passage of Scripture we're going to look at today, and I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 29. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 29. And if you have a pew Bible, that's page 686. If you were listening to the MP3s in order, on Wednesday you would have heard this passage of Scripture, probably at the end of your time listening that day, at the end of Matthew 7. It appears at the end of what Jesus, when Jesus was preaching, we call it his Sermon on the Mount. And you know why we call it the Sermon on the Mount? Because if you look at Matthew chapter 5, it tells us at the beginning of Matthew chapter 5 that when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside, and he sat down, and his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And then if you have a red letter Bible, there are red letters all the way through chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. And at the end of chapter 7, the passage we're going to look at today is where those red letters end. That's called the Sermon on the Mount because Jesus was sitting on the side of a mountain as he preached to his disciples and taught them. And the sermon covered many different topics if you look at it, if you just look at the headings. We are salt and light, the fulfillment of the law, murder, adultery, divorce, oaths, an eye for an eye, love for your enemies, giving to the needy, prayer, treasures in heaven. Do not worry, judging others, ask, seek, and knock, the narrow and the wide gates, a tree and its fruit, and then the wise and the foolish builders. This is the content of his message. He had a lot to talk about during that sermon. Now, I was taught in preaching school, that's what you want to call it, that you should have a point when you preach. You know, you should have one topic and you should stick to that and everything should support that point. But Jesus didn't go to the same preaching school that I went to. And Jesus just, he hit them scattershot, you know, rather than with a rifle shot, he hit them with a shotgun and bird shot all over and all of these different topics in the Sermon on the Mount. But we get to the end here and he pulls it all together with this passage of Scripture. The analogy that he draws at the end of the sermon in order to impress his disciples with the importance of the words that he's just spoken. The last thing you say in a sermon is probably the thing you're going to remember. He wants to make sure he ties it all together, and there's an analogy that he draws between wise builders and foolish builders, and between wise listeners and foolish listeners. So let's look at this passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 24. Follow along as I read. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. As we look at this passage of Scripture, let's examine what Jesus has to say. The first analogy he draws is between a wise builder who builds a house on a foundation of rock and a wise listener. You know, when the winds blow and when the rains fall and when the floodwaters rise, if your house is built on a foundation of rock, it's not going anywhere. It's pretty stable. It's good. It's what Jesus said, that this is what makes a builder wise, that he considers the foundation upon which he builds, and he builds upon a foundation of rock. Now, Jesus was the son of a carpenter. At least his father here on earth was a carpenter, but he was not giving carpentry lessons here in this passage of Scripture. He was making a comparison. He was teaching those who had just heard his message how to listen. He was teaching listeners how they should listen. And what he says is the wise listener is one who hears the words of Jesus. Now, I'm giving you a picture here of an amazing gift that God has given to us as human beings. The capacity to hear. Isn't that incredible that God has given you these two things on the sides of your head? They're not just there for decoration. Some are bigger than others, you know. Some you love your ears, some you hate your ears, you know. Some you try to hide them with your hair. I know you all don't like them. But the truth of the matter is, God has created these wonderful things on the side of your head that receive sound waves. And so as the sound waves beat against them, they hit what's called an eardrum in there. And then somehow the sound waves that hit that eardrum transferred through this inner ear system with a cochlea. And all sorts of magical things happen in there. I'm not a doctor, so that's what it looks like to me is magic. But I'll tell you in a minute, the doctors don't know what's going on in there either. But it just, all this wonderful stuff happens inside that ear to transfer those sound waves into intelligible information that is sent down the auditory nerve to your brain. And then your brain is able to take that information that has come in through your ear and to process it and to say, oh, somebody is preaching right now. And not only do you hear the sounds, but your brain's able to process it. And you hear me this morning and you hear words coming out of my mouth, but they actually make sense sometimes. And then you say, well, this is something that matters, and maybe you pay attention to it. And what Jesus is saying is maybe it even takes a step further. It goes from the head and understanding to the heart and then out through the feet and the hands. That you hear this, What a amazing thing through your ears, and it changes you as a person and causes you to act differently. That's an amazing gift that God has given to us. But it's a mystery to doctors too, because a number of years ago I lost the hearing in my left ear. Many of you know this story. I was sitting in my office up in New Jersey in the church I was pastor, and the room just started to spin. I was working on my sermon. I looked up and the room's spinning. And then it stopped, and I thought, well, that was weird. And I went back to doing the sermon, and then I looked up again, and the room began to spin again. I said, this is really strange. I'm gonna go downstairs and see what's going on. I started to get sick. I had what they call labyrinthitis, which is just the after effects of a virus that was attacking the inside of my ear. I had no idea any of this was happening, but I did know that I was laid up in bed and could hardly get out of bed without getting sick. I had to crawl on the floor in order to make it to the bathroom. It was a bad deal. And we went to the doctor. I was under the doctor's care, and he gave me some medicine for the sickness. And eventually, after about a week, I got over all of that, except for the fact that the hearing never returned in my ear. So I went to an ear, nose, and throat doctor, and he looked at my ear, and he said, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. He said, but let's give you a test. And they gave me a test, and they said, yeah, you don't hear anything out of that ear. So thank you. You know, what's the bill, right? Yes, you're right, I don't hear anything. In fact, I did hear something. They had it beep really loud, and I said, I hear that. And he said, oh, you're hearing that in your other ear. That is so loud that everybody in the office hears it. You have profound hearing loss in that ear. So I said, thank you for your opinion. Is there anything I could do about it? And he said, no, there's nothing you can do about that. Just wait a little while. It might come back. It might not. So I decided I wanted to see another doctor, you know, a specialist. So I went to the University of Medicine and Dentistry in New Jersey and visited one of the most respected ear, nose, and throat doctors, the professor there, to look at my ear and tell me the same exact thing that the other guy told me. Except he gave me some steroids to try. I tried them and it didn't work. So I came back and I said, so tell me what happened. You know, I like to know how things work. So tell me exactly what happened in there. And he said, a virus attacked your inner ear and something happened to cause you not to be able to hear. They'd done MRIs to make sure that there was nothing else going on. And that was it. That was it. He said, to be honest with you, he said, we could take an autopsy of someone like you after they pass away, hopefully, and we'll take an autopsy. And then we could take an autopsy of someone who hears perfectly well, and we could compare the inner ears and look at them and dissect them and take them apart. And we would still have no idea what was different about you and that person. We just don't know. And I walked out of there feeling kind of hopeless and helpless, but I said, you know, God understands. God understands why. He understands that He created these ears. He understands how they work, and it's a great mystery even to the doctors. I say all that just to remind you of what a remarkable thing it is to be able to receive information through these ears. And not only through these ears. Some of you who couldn't figure out the whole MP3 thing, and I commiserate with you, decided that you were going to read. And so you were taking it in through your eyes, unless you were reading out loud and then you were hearing your own voice as you were reading. But the information can also come in through your eyes and into your mind, and then it can change you. It's incredible that we're able to receive the Word of God in that way. It is a gift from God. But just because sound waves hit your eardrums, and just because the inner ear is able to translate that into information that's sent down your auditory nerve to your brain, and just because your brain is able to process that and you're able to understand it, does not make you a wise listener, is what Jesus is saying. The wise listener not only hears the words of Jesus, but the wise listener also practices the words of Jesus. Do you see the difference? The one who builds their house upon the rock, the firm foundation, is a wise builder. A wise listener is the one who hears the words of Jesus and then puts them into practice. Not only catching the signals in their mind, but considering those words and then allowing those words to change behavior. And when you ask your child, pick up your room now. You ever asked your child that? Pick up your room now. And she says, yes, ma'am. Has she heard what you said? Well, yeah, she's heard it. It's gone through her ears and into her brain, and she knows what it. She's heard it. But you probably, as a parent, would say, she really hasn't listened until she's gotten up and walked into the other room and started to actually move some things around and even just pretend that she's cleaning. There has to be some action in order for what you're hearing to make any sense. The truth of the matter is we value the Word of God. This is wonderful. God has spoken to us. And when Jesus was there speaking to His disciples for that Sermon on the Mount, imagine the thrill of being there and hearing the Son of God just open up to you about the way that the world works and the way that we as Christians and followers of Him should live. And what a wonderful thing to receive all those words. But Jesus said, I might as well have been sitting here just shooting my gums about NASCAR and Major League Baseball and speed skating. I might as well have said nothing to you if it doesn't sink into your head, into your heart, and then come out through your life. You are a wise listener if you allow the Word not only to enter you, but to change you and to move you. And then what will happen? Well, that type of engaged, active, responsive listening will protect you when the storms come, because the wise listener stands firm when the storms blow. And the storms of life are inevitable. They are coming. The storms are on their way, let me tell you. I don't have a Doppler radar system of your life, and I can tell you, well, you know, you better start preparing, because here comes another storm. But I can tell you that they do come, and you can count on it. The question is not, is there going to be a storm that comes into my life? The question is, will I be prepared when it arrives? Will I have a firm foundation when it gets here? Will I be able to stand firm against whatever it is? Whatever that temptation or trial is, whether it has something to do with my children or whether it has to do with my marriage or whether it has to do with my relationships, whether it has to do with my health, whether it has to do with my employment, no matter what it has to do with, whatever that storm is that comes, when it dumps rain onto my life and the wind starts beating against me, will I be able to stand firm? Jesus says, yes, if you are a wise listener who has heard the Word of God, but taken it in, and it changes your life and moves you to obedience in Him. But in addition to the wise listener, Jesus shows us the foolish listener as well. He likens the foolish listener to a foolish builder who builds a house in the sand, a sandy foundation, so that when the wind blows and when the rain comes down and when the floods come up, as old children's song says, the rain came down and the floods came up. When that happens, the house that's built in the sand crashes to the ground. Crashes to the ground. And the problem is that the foundation was not built in the right type of ground. And similarly, the foundation upon which the foolish listener builds his life is sandy and unstable. Because the foolish listener, notice this, hears the words of Jesus. That's what Jesus said. The foolish listener hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice. Understand this. Foolish listeners and wise listeners both hear the Word of God. The sound waves hit their ears. The information enters their brain. They consider it. They might even be entertained by it. They may be moved by it to some degree inside. But Jesus says there's a difference between the one who hears the Word and practices it and the one who hears the Word and does not practice it. Apparently, the foolish listener has made a conscious choice to hear it, but then not do anything about it, to disregard the word of Jesus. The foolish listener hears the word of Jesus, but disregards the words of Jesus. So we can see the difference between a foundation of rock and a foundation of sand when it comes to the teaching of Jesus and what you do with it. The wise listener hears the word and heeds the word. The foolish listener hears the word and does not heed the word. And as a result, while the wise listener is able to stand on this firm foundation when the storms of life come, the foolish listener falls flat when the storms blow. So let's get this straight. Both the wise listener and the foolish listener hear the word of God. Both of them had the capacity to stick those earbuds in and hear the MP3 play and listen to the word of God. That's wonderful that you listen to the word of God. But, you know, if that's all you do, there's something missing. And Jesus said that both of them understand the word of God, because the word that's used for hear is not just the sound waves hitting your ears, but the word that's used for hear, that they hear the word of God, means that they actually understand it. That they take it in, they understand it. So there's no excuse here for the foolish listener to say, I didn't get it. Didn't make any sense to me. Because the word that's used here means they heard it and they understood it. So what do you do with it once you have heard the word of God and you have understood the word of God? See, both face storms. The wise listener and the foolish listener, they're both going to face storms in their life. The storms are inevitable. They're coming. You're going to have trials and temptations and problems in your marriage and problems with your children. And you're going to have people that you love that are close to you who die. You're going to have health problems in your own life and the life of those that you love. There's going to be a loss of employment and looking for new jobs and facing all sorts of trials and temptations. Now, I'm not saying that each one of you is going to face all of those, but I'm saying that these are the type of storms that we know are coming. They're here. Some of you are facing them right now. And so Jesus is saying, all people who hear the word and understand the word and face storms have a decision to make. That includes all of us, I think. And the decision is, am I going to do the words of Jesus or not? Am I going to put it into practice, or am I just going to let it lie dormant within me and not do anything with it? And that is the difference between being built on rock and facing the storms successfully, or being built on sand and crashing down. Beautiful passage of Scripture found in Ezekiel 33. God was speaking to Ezekiel and saying, this is what's going to happen when people come to listen to you talk. As for you, son of man, your people who talk together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses, they say to one another, each to his brother, come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. See, Ezekiel was a great preacher, compelling preacher. Come and hear what God has to say. This man Ezekiel is preaching. And so they come to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear what you say, but they will not do it. For with lustful talk in their mouths they act. Their heart is set on their gain. And behold, you are to them like one who sings lustful songs with a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear what you say, but they will not do it. Ezekiel, you may be speaking my words to these people. And they're going to come and they're going to be entertained and enjoy it. They're going to love it. They're going to go home and talk about it. Wasn't that great? But they're not going to do it. And Jesus says that that type of a listener, when storms come, falls flat. Now, the prophets of the Old Testament faced the same problem that Jesus did. Foolish listeners. People who bring their popcorn and enjoy the show. People who nod their heads approvingly and write their notes in their Bible and hear the words that are being spoke. Who read their Bibles with tears in their eyes because of the things that they see. And they're full of good intentions, but if their actions are not there to back up what they've heard, you might as well have not listened at all. You're building a repository of knowledge, you know? But if you're not doing anything with that knowledge, it's really useless. It's really useless. In one example from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said these words, "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Jesus says those words in the Sermon on the Mount. And now at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he's saying, now listen to me. I've just spoken those words and you've heard those words. What are you going to do with them? These are the teachings of Jesus. This is what he's talking about. To hear those words and to understand them is great. To believe those words and to agree with them in your heart of hearts is even better. But your life will only be changed if you obey those words. And those who obey them stand on firm ground. Those who refuse to obey stand on shaky ground. Because the storms of life will come. And the one who's attempting to serve God and money at the same time is going to face great temptation when the time of difficulty comes. But the one who has listened to Jesus and who has heeded his word and who is worshiping God alone and is not allowing money to enter into the equation of worship might lose their money in the market, their identity might be stolen, all sorts of horrible storms might come into their life. But the one who has been serving God alone will ride out the storm on a firm foundation because they've heard and put it into action. So the question this morning is not, have you been listening to your MP3s? You know, that's great. Have you been reading the Word of God? Have you heard it? Have you heard what I've said this morning? You know, have you been listening to preaching on the radio throughout the week? It's not, have you heard the Word of God or have you read the Word of God? I encourage you to do that. The question is, are you listening? Are you listening and then doing? Are you a wise listener or a foolish listener? Are you one who treasures the Word of God as a wonderful book, but then treads all over it by ignoring it altogether? Standing on very shaky ground when the storms come? Or are you one who treasures the Word of God, takes it into your life, filters it through who you are, and does what it says? And in the times when the storm comes, you stand firm and tall. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the gift of your word. But we confess to you that there are times when we abuse it. We treat your word as an object. We treat your word as a beautiful music to our ears. We treat your word as a history book or a manual for self-help. We treat your word as something to be learned. When, Father, it's your intent that your word would be used by us in our lives, that we would do what you say. Father, we want to be wise builders who listen to you, do your word, and stand firm in the time of the storm. So, Father, challenge us this morning not just to hear, but to listen. And not just to listen, but to do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, as we close our time together, I want to thank you for being here. I'll thank you for hearing the word. And the question you might ask is, well, how do I do it? How do I do it? As you listen this week to those MP3s that we've given you, and you can get some still, as you listen to those, listen for something actionable. See if you can find something that you can do as you listen to them. So listen to it and say, wow, the Word of God is powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's great. I love it. Love the sound of the Word. But listen for something actionable. And here's how you can do the Word of God. Put it into practice. Be a wise listener this week as you listen to the Word of God. As we close our time together, I want to give you the opportunity, if the Lord's spoken to you in any way, to respond. If you know that you need to come, you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you've not made that decision before in your life, and you want to make that decision today, I invite you to come. I'd love to talk to you about Jesus. Or perhaps, you know, you've deepened your commitment to Him. You want something like baptism or membership, or just to come here and pray. We open it up to you as we sing hymn number 406, The Solid Rock, hymn 406. You're welcome to come as we stand and sing hymn number 406.